Welcome everyone now to our evening worship service. Just a few announcements before we come to worship. Available today are the New Covenanter Witness magazine and also the Missionary Prayer Letter. The church hall at work is going to be done on the floor of the church hall commencing tomorrow, and then it'll be 2 weeks before the church hall will be available. Tables and chairs are still out from the picnic last Sabbath, so should probably clear those away in preparation for the floor work tomorrow. Monday evening at 7:30 is the monthly online prayer meeting for Northern Presbytery congregations. Our session is due to meet on Tuesday evening at 8:00. I do have to go to Ballylagan for a session meeting on Tuesday at 7:00, but that should be very, very short, and I'm meeting with the elders there prior to their midweek meetings at 7:30, and there's some documents that we need to get together for presbytery on Wednesday night, and that's happening on Tuesday, but I should be in Carratts for 8:00 for the session meeting. And then on Wednesday evening, the Northern Presbytery is due to meet, and that's at 7:30 in Ballymoney. Robert is due to be the Carratts elder for that meeting. Next Lord's Day, things are at their normal times. It's a pre-communion service in the morning. And then just a reminder of the special relief committee appeal for the flooding situation in Pakistan. So those announcements, we come to the worship of God. I'm looking at the morning service, order of service, and that didn't look right. I was going to announce the wrong psalm there, so the presenter will be glad that I didn't do that. We sing to God's praise from Psalm 22, singing from some verses at the end of the psalm, 21 through to 25, and the tune we use is Gabriel, number 90. So Psalm 22, and singing from verse 21, and there's a verse over the page, finishing there at the end of the psalm. This is a psalm the Lord Jesus used when he was on the cross. Psalm begins, my God, oh, why have you forsaken me? And in a sense, the psalm answers the question, because at the end of the psalm, we find what is accomplished in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're told in stanza 21, then men remember will the Lord to earth's remotest shore, and all the Gentile nations turn to worship and adore. And this speaks of the accomplishment of Christ's saving work and how the gospel would spread out across the nations of the earth, and it would come to lots of remote shores, and our shores are pretty remote in comparison to Jerusalem. But the gospel did come to these remote shores, and we are the beneficiaries of that. And the word of the Lord goes to the ends of the earth, and people hear and people believe because the Lord opens their hearts. And so let us sing and praise to God. Psalm 22, we sing stanzas 21 to 25. The tune is Gabriel, number 90. We stand to sing and then remain standing for prayer. Let us unite in worshiping God.
Kingdom to the Lord, be long.
now we speak to God in prayer. Lord in heaven, we give thanks for that death of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we praise you that that was no pointless death, but that it was a highly fruitful death. And we praise you that the message of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was a message that was to go to earth's remotest shores. And we praise you, Lord, for bringing that message to these shores. And we thank you that it was a message that was received and that was believed. And we praise you that in every generation that has followed, there have been those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And so we give thanks, O Lord, for your mighty saving purposes. And we thank you for many, many other remote shores. And we thank you for the lands close to ourselves where people believe in the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for those very, very far away from us, the other side of the earth. And Lord, we rejoice in how you are gathering your people to yourself and building your church. And we praise you, God, for how this has been going on and continues to go on. We pray for your help this evening as we come to worship you. We pray that you will help us as we do so. And we pray, Father, that you will be pleased to use your word to steer us in our thinking, in our attitudes, and in our living. And we pray all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let us read together from God's word. I want to read in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, the words of Psalm 67, and then in the New Testament, reading some verses in Revelation chapter 7. In the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, page 514 in our Pew Bible, the words of Psalm 67. And let us hear this, the word of God. Psalm 67. God, be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth, Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And then turning to the last book of the Bible, to Revelation, and reading the second half of this chapter from verse 9, Revelation chapter 7, and reading from verse 9, page 1092 in our Pew Bible. Revelation 7 at verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing, and glory, and wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might, be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And so reads God's own true word. Well, if you turn back, please, to the words of Psalm 67. I want to speak this evening on what God has put into his word here in the book of Psalms, chapter 67. Psalm 67. This is one of the Psalms that in the scriptures that were used in the days of our Lord had the heading of being a hymn, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament that was used in the days of our Lord and the apostles. Psalm 67 is called a psalm and a hymn in our Bible, which is translated from the Hebrew. It's a psalm and a song. But we can think of this as being one of those items of praise that the Apostle Paul was speaking of when he talked about singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And this is a great missionary, song. It's a great missionary hymn. It is a great vision for the whole earth. It's not a small-minded psalm. The psalms are written within one nation on earth, but here is a psalm that goes to the ends of the earth. And the start of the psalm in verse 1, it begins with a prayer for blessing. That's the first thing I want to speak about from verse 1, a prayer for blessing. It's a simple request for God's blessing. And the words here in verse 1, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Now, those words are quite similar to the words of the priestly benediction that we have in the Old Testament. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, there's a close connection between what you have in verse 1 and those words of blessing that God's people would often have heard. And these opening words in Psalm 61 teach us that we should be careful not to be too self-centered in our prayers. Psalm doesn't say, God, be merciful to me. But it is God be merciful to us. And it's not God bless me, but it is God bless us. And when our Lord Jesus was in this world and he was teaching his disciples how to pray, he taught them to pray Our Father. And Jesus taught us to pray, Give us today our daily bread. Not my Father, and not give me. And so our Lord didn't envisage that we would always just be praying on our own. But he expected and envisaged that his people would come together to pray. And so we could use meaningfully the word Our Father. And here in Psalm 67, it is God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. And so we are to pray for God's people as a whole. And it may seem very simple. What you have in the prayer of verse 1, praying for God's mercy, praying for God's blessing, praying for God's face to shine upon his people. But that is the very thing that God's people need, and that is the thing that we need to pray for. We can pray for lots of other things. We can pray for concerns that we have. We can pray for things that we plan to do and hope to do. But we should be sure that we pray for God's blessing and pray for God's mercy and pray for God's approving smile. Because if that's not there, then everything else will really count for nothing. It is the blessing of God upon his people that is all important. And so the psalm begins with a prayer for blessing. Then thinking in the second place about verses 2 to 5 of the psalm, and here we see the purpose of blessing. Why should God bless his people? And this psalm, which is a prayer, it is far from being a selfish type of prayer. It's not just saying, God bless us, we are the all-important ones, we're the only ones that matter. As long as you bless us, then that's fine. No, it's much more than that. It is a prayer for the whole world. And we see that in verse 2 onwards. Why do God's people pray for the blessing of God? Well, it is that his way may be known on earth, that his salvation might be known among all nations. And the rest of the psalm really is an elaboration upon this point. And this is a prayer for the blessing of God, but it's not asking for it just in order that God's people would know comfort and that things would be going well for them. But God's blessing is sought in order that all nations on earth would come to know the salvation of God. That's the purpose that's in mind, that your way may be known on earth, that your salvation may be known among all nations. And so this is a reminder to us of why God puts Christians in this world. And we are in the world to be a light to the world. We're to be like that city that is set on a hill that Jesus spoke of. And within this psalm, there's a great concern for those people out there. There's a great missionary vision in this psalm. It's not just saying, God bless us, so that a few other people near at hand might share in the blessing also. But the desire is that among all nations, that this salvation of the Lord may be known. And those nations out there were a constant menace to the people of Israel. They were invading and causing trouble. And yet the psalm is praying that the salvation of God will be known among all nations. And this is the thing that is really needed in our world today. Listen to the news and you'll hear about all the different crises that exist at the present time, the climate crisis and the health crisis and the economy crisis, cost of living crisis and all these things. But these are not the big problem that exists in the world. What the world needs most of all is not more food or better technology or even less wars or less disease or less poverty. What the world needs is the salvation of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's true of every nation on earth. Among all the nations, the great need is the salvation of God. And so the psalm prays that God will bless his people in order that other people across all nations will come and will enter into the salvation of God. Now within Psalm 67, the words of verse 3 and the words of verse 5 are exactly the same. And these verses look forward to the day when God would not just have that one nation on earth upon which he set his favor. And that was the context in which the Psalms were written. This one little nation. And that was where God was at work. And that's where the people of God were. But in verses 3 and 5, it is the peoples. That's all the peoples of the earth. The desire is that they would praise God instead of praising all the other gods they were busy praising. That instead, that all the peoples would praise the Lord. And this is a prayer that has already been answered to a great degree. And the gospel has gone to the ends of the earth. And today, the Lord has been praised in many, many lands. And God's name has been praised in lots and lots of different languages. And God is continuing to work in the world so that all the peoples might praise him. At least some people from among all the peoples will be praising the Lord. And when God's name is praised within a land, that is something that is good and can only be good for that land. And verse 4 speaks about what happens when peoples praise the Lord. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. And when people submit to the rule of the Lord, they will find that is a good thing for them and for their nation. And the land in which we live was once a place of great, great spiritual darkness. It was once a place of great, great fear and superstition. People feared all kinds of things, and they feared all kinds of happenings, that this was an omen of something bad that was coming. And it used to be that the sound of the gospel was not known in our land. And it was a place of immorality. It was a place of perversion. But God in his grace caused the gospel to come to this remote shore. And people received the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they didn't reject it and say, no, we're quite happy with our own religion and our own moral standards and all of those things. But people embraced the truth of the gospel. It was just totally different from what they had held to until they heard it. And they believed, no, there's not many, many different gods. And we don't have to make idols to represent all these different gods. But there's only one God. And his word is true, and his laws bring freedom and deliverance. And this God has sent his Son into the world, and that Son is the Savior of people of all nations. And people came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and their chains were broken, and the darkness that prevailed, the darkness was dispelled, and God came to bless this land. And from this island, missionaries went out to all sorts of places, and this was the land where the gospel was believed, and that gospel wasn't just for here, but other people needed to hear it. And it's not like that now. But now we're returning to the darkness. Returning to the darkness from which we came. And people are believing again that the world is not controlled by God. People are looking to the moon and the stars and all sorts of things, believing that they control the future, that the earth itself is a kind of God, and that the earth reacts against man, but God is nowhere in the picture. And it's like what is spoken of in the scriptures of the sow returning to wallowing in the mud after being washed, and the dog returning to its vomit. There isn't much good news in our part of the world in these days, because God is being rejected, God is being abandoned, and the nation is turning from God rather than turning to God. But it's not like that in other parts of the world. There are other parts of the world that are coming out of great darkness, and the light of the gospel is beginning to shine like it has never shone before. And there are parts of the world that have vast, vast numbers of people in comparison to the few people that live in our part of the earth. And God is moving in new ways and giving gospel opportunities to where there's been little gospel opportunity in the past. And we should praise God that is the case. The missionary desire in this psalm is that all the peoples would praise the Lord. And it's a good thing when people in Pakistan and India and China and so on are praising the Lord, because those people used to worship false gods or no God at all. And so in the second place here in verses 2-5, we have the purpose of blessing. Bless us so that other people may be blessed. Then in the third place in the psalm, in verses 6 and 7, there is the certainty of blessing. And the prayer that's made within this psalm is not a prayer that will go unanswered. God will hear this prayer, and he will answer it mightily. The New American Standard Version translates the first line of verse 6 as being, "The earth has yielded its produce," or its increase, as it is in the New King James. It speaks of something that already was happening. The psalmist writes as if what he has been praying for is already there. And that certainty of blessing comes in the what remains of the psalm. It says, "God, our own God, he shall bless us. He shall certainly bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him." And this is the way things will be. God will be feared in all the earth. And whether you believe that or not, it is going to happen, because it says so in the Word of God. And these are to be the desires that motivate us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should want God to bless us so that other people will be blessed. And we should believe that certainly will be the case, that the gospel is not a message that is fizzling out and losing its strength and power and vitality, but that the ends of the earth will come to fear the Lord. And even in our own little part of God's kingdom, we should expect to see the workings of God. He has opened up a new opportunity in another country, in the land of Spain. For many years, we had no real connection with Spain. Now we have a missionary family in the city of Seville and seeking to do a gospel work in that land. Spain is a needy gospel land. In the land of France, which is a very gospel-needy country, we have a mission work in the city of Nantes. The prospect of them having their own place to meet, and surely God has good purposes in all of that. Even on this island, the mission committee, in looking at the possibility of a work in the city of Limerick, there's thousands and thousands of people that live in Limerick. What a mighty thing God could do there in that place. And within Reformed Presbyterian circles, there is a work of God going on in the United States, in Canada, in Australia, in places that feel further away, like in Japan. And the work of the gospel in places like Cyprus, and in Africa, in South Sudan, and in Gambia. And in those countries that have huge numbers of people, in India and China and Pakistan. And there are new opportunities there that would have been unthought of in the past. And God is taking his message to the ends of the earth. And God is blessing his people in one place so that people in other places might receive the good news of salvation. We have many small congregations within our denomination. And that can be something that concerns us, but it's also something that represents great opportunity for growth. Many of our buildings are nowhere near being filled, and there's plenty of scope for God to bring his people in, that God would bless the people who are there, and that would be a means to others being brought in. And we do not live in ordinary times in our world. These are strange and extraordinary times. And God is shaking up the nations of our earth, and he's shaking in various different ways with health issues and cost of living issues, with political tensions and turmoil. People can't just live settled lives. God has given people no peace. And people are worried about this and worried about that and fearful of this. And we need to believe that God is in all of this. God talks in the Old Testament scriptures about shaking. And God has given the world a shake in these days. And God's great delight is in bringing salvation to the ends of the earth. And so let us seek to believe that God will bless us, but that blessing is to overflow to others, and not just others round about us, but others in faraway places. And he can use our prayers, and he can use our givings to accomplish mighty things in many remote places. And this is the desire that we need to have in our heart. It's not good enough for us just to want God to bless us so that things will be well with us. But rather our desire should be that God would bless us so that many, many others would come to share in that blessing. And God will bless his people. And the ends of the earth will fear the Lord. And Christ is building his church, and he will do it with or without us. And if we are too self-preoccupied to not really have a heart for the ends of the earth, well, the Lord will find other people that he can use, and he will bless them so that they will be a blessing unto others. But we should pray as this psalm prays, and we should have the heart that is exhibited here in this psalm. And so let this be our desire. Let us desire that God will be merciful to us, that God will bless us, that God will cause his face to shine upon us. And why? Well, so that his way may be known on earth and his salvation among all nations. This is the heart of God's people for a needy earth. And the world is a very needy place. And what it needs most of all is the salvation of the Lord. And it is in Christ that hope lies. It's not in politicians. It's not in environmental measures or whatever things could be done that may help in some ways. But the salvation of the Lord is the great need. And we're encouraged in this psalm to pray that God will bless us in order that others might in turn be blessed. Amen. Well, we turn to God now in our prayers. I was saying this morning about the Dervock congregation having a meeting today, and I'm told that that meeting resulted in a call being made out to Raymond Blair, minister of our Lima Valley congregation, and also at the minute, interim moderator in the Galway congregation. You can remember the folk in Galway, as this probably wouldn't be the news that they would be wanting to hear, but I think it may well have been the case that that who would serve as interim moderator in Galway would have been up for review in the Western Presbytery this week. So we remember Raymond Blair in this call that has come to him. I'm sure he wasn't expecting that to be the case. And we give thanks that the Dervock congregation have been able to make out this call. So let us now come to God in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we return thanks to you, and we acknowledge that you have blessed us, that you have been merciful to us, and that your face has shone upon us. Lord, we thank you for your great goodness. We thank you that you have definitely not dealt with us as our sins deserve, but we thank you for what we've received so generously from your hand. We thank you for the good news of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, for bringing this message to us. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us hearts to believe that message, that we didn't just dismiss that as being nonsense, but, O Lord, that you so moved in our hearts that we saw that this is the truth and that this is a wonderful thing. And, Lord, we pray that blessing of yours upon us might not stop with us, but we pray, O Lord, that it will extend outwards to others, that it will overflow to others near and far. We pray that you'll help us to be a blessing where you've put us in your world, and help us to be a blessing, O Lord, where we can be in other parts of the world. We pray, O Lord, for those distant shores where there are other Reformed Presbyterians, and we give thanks for that. We pray for those in highly populated countries like Japan and Pakistan and India and China. Lord, we thank you for those whom you have saved and added to your church, and we pray that you will bless their witness and that all the obstacles that stand against the spread of the Christian faith in those lands would be overcome. And we pray that you will work powerfully, O Lord. We pray for those who are hostile against the Christian faith, that you would open their eyes to see that as the Apostle Paul came to see that the one he was fighting against was actually the one he needed to believe in. And Lord, we pray that it may be so among the enemies of the gospel, among influential people, O Lord. We pray that they will be brought to become those who promote the gospel rather than opposing the gospel. And we pray that you build your church, Lord, in those lands where there are so, so many people and so many lost people. And Lord, we pray that there will be a light that will shine brightly, and that the people in those lands will come to believe, and more so. Lord, we give thanks for the mission work that we have in Nantes, and we praise you for the perseverance that has been shown in that work. We thank you for the stage that things are at present. We pray that the building project will go ahead soon, and we pray that there will be many people who in future will worship in that new worship location. We pray, Father, for the girls who are serving as language assistants this year in the school in Nantes, and we pray that the two of them will be a real help in the work of the fellowship. We pray that they will have many good contacts through school, and we pray for their witness to staff and to pupils and to fellow language assistants. And Lord, may their time in Nantes be really beneficial for them and for the work there. We pray, Lord, for the church in Galway, and we pray for your provision for that work. We pray that you will guide and help them in these days of vacancy. We pray for Billy Hamilton for good health and for strength and for wisdom for him. We pray for the men who take the services there, and we pray that folk will continue to come, that they will meet together when the opportunity is there. And we pray that you, O Lord, will lead that work forward in the days to come. We pray for this new development with the call of the Dervock congregation to Raymond Blair. We thank you for that, and we pray that that will be a good thing. One way or another, we pray that Raymond will find this to be something that you use for his benefit, whether he accepts the call or whether he declines it. We pray, Lord, that you would bring good out of it. And we pray for Carl and for the girls and all their thoughts about this this new thing that they need to consider. And Lord, we pray that you will be pleased to lead Raymond clearly in this matter. We pray for the folk in the Dervock congregation who will speak in favor of the call, and we pray that they'll be able to put their case clearly. We pray for the Limavady congregation and the surprise that this will be to them, and we pray for them as they think and pray about this. And oh Lord, we look to you, and we pray that you will deploy your resources as you would will. We pray that you would lead clearly in this, and we pray that you'll give acceptance of your leading, whatever it may be. We pray, Father, for the ongoing situation in Ukraine, and we pray that you would be at work there. We ask, O Lord, for the saving of lives, both in a physical sense and also in a spiritual sense. Lord, we pray that there may be a gospel advance that will take place in the midst of all the political and military turmoil that is there. And Lord, we pray for the land of Ukraine, and we pray also for Russia, and we pray for the future of these countries and all the other countries that are affected one way or another by this situation. Lord, we believe that you have good purposes in this, and Lord, we pray that you will bring about what you intend. And Lord, we praise you for the things that can make us take stock and make us think again. And we pray, O Lord, that in all that's happening in the world at present, in all the uncertainties and all the turmoil that there is in so many different ways, we pray that out of this, O Lord, that people will be provoked to search and find that which is stable. And we praise you, O Lord, for the rock and the firm place that you are. And Lord, we pray that many will be provoked to seek after you and find you when they seek you with all their heart. Lord, we ask for your working in our lives. We pray that you will remember us in our needs and in our weakness. We pray that you will open our eyes to the things that you would give us to do for you. Guard and keep us, O Lord, in our health. We pray for recovery for those who are not well at present. And we pray, Lord, for your guiding hand in the surgeries that and procedures that people are awaiting. We pray that all of these will be helpful and will lead to further fruitful service within your kingdom. Lord, hear our prayers and direct us in your good ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we sing the C version of Psalm 67 as our closing psalm. We use the tune Heber, number 219. 67C, singing the six stanzas of this psalm, the tune 219. O God, to us show mercy, and bless us in thy grace. Cause thou to shine upon us the brightness of thy face. And why is that? That so thy way, most holy, on earth may soon be known, and unto every people thy saving grace be shown. Psalm 67C, to the tune 219, we stand to sing, and then afterwards remain standing for the benediction.
O God, to us show mercy, and bless us in thy grace. Cause thou to shine upon us the brightness of thy face, that so thy way most holy on earth may
I receive God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.